This is Twit.
What was your favorite classic console?
Oof. I love an old Game & Watch. I got to really go back to
Game
those,
& Watch.
Those
what?
Very
I didn't expect that.
Those very specific, only played with one game, had familiar characters, but those really slow moving LED guys. I'm an old enough man to where the NES, I was the age and size to where that terrible, terrible controller fit into my hand. I had the NES Max. I was lucky. That had a very weird, rotating ball.
I don't remember the
oh,
NES
yeah, the
Max.
NES Max was a really... It had turbo buttons installed on there as well.
Oh, I remember that now. That's that larger arched controller,
so,
right?
No, it was small. The Advantage was the big one.
Oh, that was
We don't
that was
have
the big...
any of these old controllers yeah. with us. I'm so sorry to say.
I remember the Advantage. That was a cool controller.
But, the NES has that soft spot, and I really do think those sort of first early games where you really solved and did
there
something big... really matter to you. So I'm assuming for you that was banging stones against a wall.
Not quite that old. I don't know. You know, for me, my jam when I was a kid was the Commodore 64. It wasn't even a console. It was that computer was such an amazing gaming computer. That was the only reason I had a Commodore 64 was because of the amount of games.
And if we were in a different country, it might have been the PC Engine was
PC
huge in
Engine.
Japan,
yep.
Which is we know better as the TurboGrafx here in the States.
Right.
Or if you're in the UK, something like the ZX Spectrum, or as they would say, the ZX Spectrum, kicked serious butt in the 80s because there was this huge boom for computers are educational. So,
right.
So many kids in Europe, especially the UK, had these computers, and companies like Rare really came up by making games for the ZX.
Yeah.
It's a sort of interesting where you came from, what consoles were region-specific up until sort of Nintendo took everything over and sort of snowballed into a more globally united phenomenon from there.
Yeah, yeah. If I had to pick a console, Super Nintendo would definitely be right near the top. I spent so much of my time playing Super Nintendo games.
Absolutely
so
agree.
Perfectly apropos that we are going to focus a little bit on the Super Nintendo. We've got a console in here. And the idea here is if you've got these old consoles, a lot of times what you're getting out, you might be getting a composite or a component output.
RF if you're in a real bad place.
Yeah, if you're a real bad place. We don't have a way to show, you know, how to convert that. But you're going to need some way to get this into your TV. You know, and I know I've heard of a lot of people who just have a collection of these old consoles. And that's all fine and good. But if you have no way to get it into, you know, your modern HD TV, or if you have a way but it doesn't look good, there are ways to improve that
right.
that conversion is done even better. That's what we're going to kind of focus on in this first segment. So so what we wanted to kind of start off with is kind of show the scale between okay conversion and amazing conversion. So that's what we're going to focus on. Right here next to the Super Nintendo, we have the Super Nintendo coming out composite into the Geffen TV, or is it Geffen? I'm not really quite sure. Composite to HDMI scaler. And, I mean, this is basically doing the conversion for you. You've got some settings here to where you can set it up based on the requirements of your TV, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got a little on-screen menu. We're not going to go through that. It's one of these really clunky things where you're clicking through. You can change the input and output resolution. You know, you've got, like, 576i, 1080p,
right.
A bunch of smaller and bigger ones in between. But ultimately, a device like this is kind of doing an inelegant job of taking this analog input and turning it into the ones and zeros of HDMI digital output. And the result, I think, might just be good to flash on the screen of what it looks like. We have currently loaded Super Mario World on here.
That's, you can see things
kind
of scanning a little bit.
You
I mean, it's passable, I suppose.
You look at it and you're like, yeah, I'm going to be able to play. We're not going to be doing a lag test, an input lag test or things like that, for example. But essentially, you're getting a little bit of a blur. It almost looks like it's coming from an old CRT.
Yep.
So we were testing this out. We had a visitor stop by.
Yes, Alan Cecil of Tazbot, and he's going to be on a future episode very soon.
But he was just in the neighborhood. I'm not even kidding. And he saw what we were doing. He said, we need to do something a little different. I'm going to go ahead, for comparison's sake, especially since you're so bad at this,
yes.
I'm going to go ahead and reset. We're going to get back to the starting screen. I am going to switch out. Let's go ahead and just take a look. Don't press any buttons.
Okay.
Of just a sense of
this. So just
this.
Take it in. This is the Geffen TV composite to HDMI scaler, which I might add costs...
Not Geffen, Geffen.
Geffen, sorry. I'm thinking of the record label, which costs, by the way, right now you can get this on Amazon for about $213, and you'll get this quality of conversion.
But if we go to the top camera here, I'm going to move the stuff around as I switch the cables out. Describe exactly this model of guy we have plugged in here.
This is the OSSC, and this is what... this is what Alan dropped off. This is the open, what does it stand for? The open, hold on. It's an open source scan converter.
Right.
And I mean, this is, honestly, this is designed for conversion of console games.
Right. And what we've got specifically, this SCART converter here, which plugs in, one end of the cable is very much like, if you've got the above camera, hold on, I get the one of the cables just fell. So this guy here is your standard Nintendo cable, your AV jack cable that plugs into a Super Nintendo and plugs into an N64. And yeah. I can't remember if GameCube has compatibility or not. But this was a standard one for a while, not the NES. And so same kind of connector is going into the Super Nintendo, but into this is the crazy, much larger pin. I'm not going to pull it out just for the sake of our demos.
Yeah, we've got it all running. And
but there's a ton of other inputs. We've got... we've got component in, we've got
VGA
in, but yeah, and then out, we've got HDMI out, we even have a separate audio out in a pinch, and so with that shown, let's go ahead and, can we flip to the Super Mario World demo that's running now?
And I mean, it's like the, so go ahead and...
I don't know, we may be able to, in post, get a little before and after.
Yeah, but do like a little side-by-side.
What we look at in the studio right now is absolutely none of that weird blurring or sheeting. We've got all the audio coming in clearly. We've got the pixel scaling is really crucial. I'm not going to go right up with a microscope and try and be 100% sure, but sometimes you're going to get some weird shaping of pixels, and this is as crisp of an output as you're going to get. Again, this is all coming from an analog system, all coming out as these really clear, nicely defined pixels. You're going to need someone who knows a lot more about exactly the output that's coming out here, but you can just see the difference almost immediately.
That is fantastic. I feel like if you're putting together a kind of a console museum, this ends up, like, it's a no-brainer putting these side by side. And this was kind of, like you said, surprise to us that Alan was in the area and could drop this off for us to see a before and after. Here's the crazy thing. If you go to videogameperfection.com, you can find the open source scan converter and you can buy it. Right now it's posted for 162 euros. That translates out to, or sorry, not euros, pounds. That translates out to about $212. That's a dollar less than what you'll pay for the Geffen.
You'll still need to get the SCART cable to complete the package. So that might run you a little more. But that's the reason we show this. Number one, because there's just different devices. So getting a sense of what they can do differently on the scale. But also, you can mod systems to have different outputs. So you can go in and actually have HDMI out and RGB out modded into a system depending. And that's going to vary system by system. How much work that's going to be, whether it's worth the effort. Yeah. Now, for some people, the answer is going to be, you know what? I'll take my blurry old system. I just want to plug it in and go. No big deal. And so something, you're going to get an image maybe better than that, the Geffen. I'm just going to call it the Geffen.
At this point, I'm so thoroughly
confused.
It doesn't matter.
But yeah, so that is sort of a level that you can go. But when you want to go for that pristine picture that looks kind of like some of these classic small boxes that are coming out, but with no emulation. This is pure system. You're not running into any emulation troubles or tricks or things when you have it running like straight from a cartridge slot with the system doing all the work. So that's a sort of consideration of how far you want to go down that rabbit hole. And converter boxes like this do simplify the process. Because again, everything here is stock. We haven't taken the Super Nintendo. We have not cut it open. We have not done anything crazy. We just have one new cable plugged into one new box, whoosh, to the HDTV.
Done. This is a tight piece of hardware.
This does require its own power adapter, so just be aware of that, that you need one more power thing plugged in to use either of these boxes. And, you know, just keep that in mind. And that's not way too much stuff to add to a retro TV center, but it's worth noting you're getting into cable-y territory.
No, totally. And, I mean, the truth is you're going to need some way to do this conversion. So if you actually want to get these consoles and buy one off of eBay and plug it into your system, if you have a TV that's anywhere near modern, you're going to need some sort of conversion. It really seems like price to quality, it really doesn't make any sense to go outside of this open source.
But this is such a limited...
That thing is solid.
This is a limited testing. We're not telling you that this is absolutely the way to go, that it's the perfect solution for the system you have, especially if you have an RF adapter as your limitation. If you don't have RCA or things like that.
Yeah.
And when you go back earlier than the NES, NES does support some RCA, but not some of the older systems. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind. But... you know, there's a process, and the result could look that crisp.
I mean, I'm like blown away by the quality.
It's very nice.
That looks really awesome.